Hey, New Lifers, we are so glad that you have decided to join us once again for this online experience. We want to let you know a couple of things. First of all, we're going to be in this online format from now until the end of the month. We also want to let you know that we'll be sending you some notifications along the way to let you know what things are going to look like in April. And so if you are joining us on YouTube right now, would you consider maybe subscribing to our YouTube channel? It'll help us keep you up to date on what's happening each time that we go live. Also, I want to let you know about some exciting things. You know, we don't often have the opportunity to share testimonies in this type of format about what God is doing, but man, can I just tell you that God is on the move. There are so many stories coming in about how God is moving through the hearts of people and utilizing people, their gifts, their talents, their resources in order to further his kingdom in this particular moment. One of the things that my wife and I even had the opportunity to do is we partnered with a local business and they provided some meals on St. Patrick's Day. A neighbor who we had only met once, we were able to walk down to her house and deliver a meal to her. We also had people stopping by our pantry, making over 12 deliveries on Wednesday to people in their homes to make sure that people had the food that they needed for the coming weeks. We had some people show up at the warming center and be able to help the homeless in our community and make sure that they were cared for during this difficult time. And so, man, God is just on the move through phone calls and encouragement and emails and all kinds of different things. And so we want you to be looking in your inbox, checking your social media platform, and also your New Life app in order to make sure that you are up to date on how we can get information to you, how you can be cared for, the things that are happening around not only the Five Cities area, but the Central Coast and how God is on the move. And so I want to invite you to pray with me as we enter into a time of worship today. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for being here. We thank you, God, that no matter where we are gathered, you are there. And so, God, I pray right now that we would just enter into your presence. I pray, God, that we would just sense your presence all around us. God, I pray that if we are in our home and we're gathered on our own, we would know that you are not alone right now because you have people gathering with you. You might not be in the same house as them, but your spirit is binding us together. And God, if there are individuals that are gathering together with family members right now, or even friends, God, I pray that they would just sense your presence. Would you just give us a freedom to worship you right now? Nobody's listening. We can actually sing out as loud as we want to. We don't have to be in tune. We are just here to worship you. And so, Heavenly Father, may your Holy Spirit move in this particular moment. We ask all these things in Jesus' powerful name. Amen.
There is only one thing, there is only one thing that defines us, your presence. There is only one thing, Jesus, only one thing satisfies us, your presence. Across the ocean, we look for you, we look for you. In the valley, through the meadow, we search for you, we search for you. There is only beauty now invading.
Hallelujah, we want more. Hallelujah, fill us once again. Hallelujah, you have come. Hallelujah, we want more.
Oh, your love. Your word will come to pass. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.
Man, when I think about that song of God, would you do this again? Would you move again like you have in the past? I'm reminded of the fact that God so often moved when the people of God felt pressure. God so often moved when the people of God felt pressure. And so what you see happening throughout scripture is that in these moments where the people of God are feeling kind of this intense pressure about their circumstances, about the things that are going around them, all of a sudden you see God move in an incredibly powerful way. And so today I want to talk to you about this idea that there is power in pressure. There's actually incredible power when it comes to pressure in our lives and pressure in the circumstances of what is happening in our lives. You may know me a little bit and know that I have some quirks about me. I have a drawer in my bathroom that has like kind of all my toiletries in it. And because I like things done a particular way, I know I'm weird. I'm odd like that. But one of the things that I have in that drawer is my very own toothpaste. And I try to guard that toothpaste because I have a certain way that I like the toothpaste to be able to be applied in order for that toothpaste to come out. And in case you need a tutorial, I'll just let you know, man, if you're somebody who you like to squeeze that toothpaste from the top of the toothpaste lid and kind of just squeeze it and leave it there, man, you're somebody that I will pray for. And if you're somebody who likes to squeeze from the middle of the toothpaste tube like my kids do, I'm pretty sure that is part of the evil one's plan and you should not do that. And I'm going to pray for you. But if you're a follower of Jesus and you know this, that if you actually squeeze the toothpaste from the bottom of the tube and apply that pressure, that the toothpaste comes out how it was created to be, man. It's the way that it was designed. And if you are really good, you even begin to kind of twist that bottom of the toothpaste up and allow that pressure to push the toothpaste out. But here's what I honestly want you to hear from thinking about the idea of pressure in toothpaste. It's simply this. No matter where you apply that pressure in that tube of toothpaste, whatever's in that toothpaste doesn't change. The stuff that was in there, no matter where you apply the pressure, the stuff that's in there is what comes out. In fact, I'll say it this way. Applying pressure does not determine what comes out. What's already in there determines what comes out. And so here's what I've been thinking about during this kind of unique and somewhat challenging season for us in the life of the church, in the life of our community, and even in our individual lives. What will pressure reveal about us during this season? What will pressure reveal about us during the season? See, there are certain seasons of adversity that become the pressure to get the most out of us. There's certain seasons that when we're initially feeling the pressure, like, man, I can't believe we're going through this. I'm frustrated. I don't quite understand it. And yet those become things that are catalytic to get the most out of us. And while some people are looking at this season with fear, here's what I believe that God is doing. He is looking at this season saying, you know what? There is pressure that's being applied right now from circumstances that we can't control, but God is going to use it for his glory. He did not cause it, but he is going to use it for his glory. And so I feel like God's sitting here right now and he's looking at kind of what's happening in the world. He says, yep, I know that you guys are feeling pressure, but in this pressure is opportunity for you to become the type of church that I had in mind when I thought about what it looked like to be the people of God. I think that God's looking at things right now going, you know what? During this season, this is going to become catalytic for you understanding what it's like to be the church. And I think that God is going to unleash those fresh and new ways to be the church in this particular moment in history. And I think that as I read throughout the scriptures, what you begin to understand is that this has always been God's plan. And this was definitely what we saw God reveal through Jesus in the New Testament. If you have your Bibles, I want you to open them up to the book of Matthew. Matthew is in the New Testament, the second half of the Bible. It's the very first book in the New Testament, the second half of the Bible. And we're going to be in chapter 9, starting at verse 35. Matthew chapter 9, starting at verse 35. And as we read this particular passage, here's a thought that I want going through your mind. The buildings that are called churches are closed, but the church is not closed. Let me say that again. The buildings that we call church are closed right now. But the church, the people of God, are not closed. And so I want you to have that in mind as we read through this particular passage. Matthew chapter 9, starting at verse 35, says this. And Jesus traveled through all the towns and villages of that area, teaching in the synagogue, and announcing the good news about the kingdom. And he healed every kind of disease and illness. And when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. And he said to his disciples, "The harvest is great, but the workers are few. And so pray the Lord who is in charge of the harvest and ask him to send more workers into his fields." I love this particular passage. In fact, it shapes so much of what I believe it means to be the church. And yet, as I kind of was rereading it again this week, I just began to think about it with, I believe the Holy Spirit just gave me just some fresh insight into how the disciples maybe would have heard this particular passage. And so I want to take this passage from the perspective of the disciples and how as Jesus is commissioning them, as Jesus is calling them to pray to God to send out more workers in the harvest field, how would they have initially heard it? I think one of the things that's interesting that's happening in this passage or that the disciples would have been experiencing is that they would have been walking through these towns and villages and seeing the exact same things that Jesus was seeing. And so what's interesting about that language, towns and villages, is towns are the big places and the villages are the small places. And no matter where they went, what they saw was pain. What they saw was sickness. What they saw was suffering. In fact, what they began to realize is that pain and suffering and illness and disease were no respecter of persons or communities. And I began to read that and think, man, that's kind of where we're at right now. This idea that this virus is no respecter of communities. It's in the large cities and it's in the small villages. It's everywhere, big or small. I imagine them looking at all this and being kind of in awe of just the amount of ministry potential that there was, but also recognizing that there was chaos happening. The passage said that when Jesus went into these towns and he was leading the disciples into these towns and leading these disciples into the villages, that what he said, what he saw there and what they experienced and saw there were people who were like sheep without a shepherd. And so when I'm reading that passage, I'm thinking how chaotic things must have been, how uncertain things must have been. And so here you are reading this passage and these disciples are with Jesus. And they're watching this kind of chaos and uncertainty and this disease and this suffering and this poverty take place right before their eyes. And if you kind of get honest with yourself, if you were there and you were watching this take place, I can't imagine that the disciples weren't thinking, man, the pressure of this ministry, the pressure of what Jesus is doing is mounting. The need is greater than ever before for Jesus to move in a powerful way. And I don't know about you, but as I'm reading this passage, I'm going, here's what I think the disciples were probably assuming. Jesus, you're going to take care of this all by yourself. Jesus, you got this. You don't really need us. We're kind of just in the background. You don't really need us. You're going to do this. And here's why I think that they believed that Jesus was going to kind of step onto the scene in this particular moment in the chaos, in the big cities, in the small villages, wherever he went, that Jesus was going to be the one by himself in order to bring the ministry to these particular areas, because this is actually what they had seen up to this point. In fact, if you kind of flip back a couple of chapters and you begin to read through the stories that lead up to this particular moment where Jesus is teaching his disciples and he's teaching us, we see Jesus moving in some powerful ways. In chapter 8, verses 1 through 4, we read that Jesus heals a man with leprosy. He's talking to this guy, and he's got leprosy, and he says, "Jesus, if you're willing, you can heal me." And Jesus heals him. You have a centurion servant who's suffering, and he comes to him and says, "Jesus, you are like a commander, just like I am. If you send forth a command, then my servant will be healed." And that's exactly what happens. Peter's mother-in-law has a fever and Jesus walks in the room and he heals Peter's mother-in-law. And in moments, her fever is gone and she's up and she's walking around and she begins to serve all those who are here. In chapter 8, verses 15 through 17, Jesus heals the sick and he drives out spirits. In chapter 8, verses 23 through 27, you begin to read how Jesus calms the storms that are happening. Then Jesus heals two demon-possessed men. Some guys bring a paralytic to Jesus, and he forgives this paralytic of his sins, and then these people begin to grumble, and Jesus says, okay, you want to know that I have the ability to do this, so that you know that I have the ability to do this, then get up and take your mat and walk. And this paralytic gets up and he grabs his mat and he begins to walk, and everybody is amazed. You have this individual who's a ruler who comes up to Jesus and says, my daughter has died. Jesus, would you heal my daughter? And so Jesus begins to go to his household. And on his way to the household, this woman who had been hemorrhaging for years reaches out and touches the hem of Jesus's garment and is healed. And Jesus eventually gets to the home and heals this little girl. In chapter 9, verses 27 through 34, Jesus heals a blind man, a man who could not speak, and demon-possessed man. And so if you are the disciples at this particular time when we come to chapter 10 and you see, hey, there's chaos, there's uncertainty, there are people who are sheep without a shepherd, there's poverty, there's suffering, there's disease that is happening. If you come to that particular moment, what do you think they're going to do? They're going to kind of step back and say, all right, Jesus, you got this. Kind of do your Jesus-y thing and make all these things better. And I think for some of us, when we come to these kind of uncertain and chaotic times, that's exactly what we do. We kind of step back and say, okay, Jesus, do your Jesus-y thing. Or hey, pastor, do your pastor thing. Or hey, church leaders, do your church leader thing. And we step back and we kind of have this hands-off approach at times where what God is wanting us to do and what Jesus wants them to do is to realize what needs to happen in this moment is not for ministry to happen through any singular one person, but through the people of God as a whole, that there's plenty of harvest that needs to happen. There's plenty of miracles. There's plenty of healing. There's plenty of restoration. There's plenty of care that needs to happen in this particular moment, but it's going to happen through collectively the people of God coming together. And so Jesus invites these individuals to begin thinking differently and going, hey, I know the ministry that I've done up to this point, but now I want to invite you into doing the things that I have done. So here's something to think about. That pressure reveals a purpose that has always been there. This, sometimes when I read this passage, I was like, oh, Jesus is like kind of game-changing moment. This is a new thing. No, I think this is what Jesus has been preparing the disciples for all along. He's been kind of moving them along saying, hey, if you're going to follow me, you're going to have to pick up your cross. If you're going to follow me, it's going to cost you. If you're going to follow me, here's what it looks like. And so he's been giving them a tutorial of what ministry is going to look like in chapter 8 and in chapter 9. And he comes to the end of chapter 9 and into 10. He says, hey, now that you have studied what I'm going to call you to do, now I want you to go do the things that I have been doing. You're going to be the carriers of the kingdom. You're going to be the carriers of the good news. And in this moment, there's a transfer of ministry. There's a transfer of ministry where Jesus says, commissions these disciples. And then down throughout history, Jesus' followers are commissioned by the Spirit of God that is alive in them to go and do the work of God, to be the hands and feet of Jesus. I love what it says in this passage, that it says that Jesus calls us workers. We need more workers, not CEOs, not just delegators, not people who are going to sit back and tell everybody what to do or expect that everybody else does the things, but actually workers. Roll up your sleeves, get your hands dirty, workers. I love that he also, basically he reminds them that you are sent. What I need are workers who are going to be sent. Workers who are going to go into the harvest field. In fact, in Matthew chapter 10, verse 1, we continue to read, and here's what it says. It says, Jesus called his 12 disciples together and gave them authority to cast out evil spirits and to heal every kind of disease and illness. And what you begin to discover throughout the rest of the New Testament, specifically in the Gospels, is that under the authority of Jesus and through the authority of Jesus and in the book of Acts, through the authority of Jesus, through the Spirit, through his Spirit that is alive and working in us, the people of God are given authority to do the ministry of Jesus. And so some people are asking themselves maybe right now, like, okay, I get that, Pastor, but I've never done that, or I've never been real comfortable in doing that, or I've never kind of figured out what my particular role in doing that looks like. And I get it. For some of us, our whole kind of framework for what it means to be a Christian was to just simply support the other people who were doing ministry. What it meant to be a Christian was to kind of make sure I was there on the weekend worship service or studying my Bible or any number of things. And all of a sudden, what's happening is that this pressure, the pressure of this circumstance, the pressure of what's happening right now is giving us an opportunity to see a new purpose that's been inside of us the entire time, that's been a part of the church the entire time, but sometimes, and in some situations, has gotten sidelined. So here's my encouragement to you. If you are thinking, hey, how do I do this? How do I actually, how do I be a worker in this particular moment? I wanna encourage you with this. Listen to the Spirit, and when the Spirit speaks, do the next right thing. I know that sounds really simple, but man, we have opportunity to listen into God and listen into the Spirit of God and his promptings. And then when the Spirit prompts us, just simply do the next right thing that God has laid out before you. And it's happening already. I shared some of those testimonies at the beginning, but man, I think that we can even see this take place and this movement of God take place on even a more macro scale. In fact, right now, I know there's some people at home and you're in that 65 plus age group that everybody keeps talking about. You're vulnerable, or you have that pre-existing medical conditions, and everybody's saying you got to stay home and you're vulnerable. And I want you to hear me as your pastor. That's exactly what we want you to do. We care about you. We want to make sure that you are safe, and we want you to stay in your home. But as Pastor Gina reminded us as a staff this week, just because you're vulnerable in this moment doesn't mean you're not valuable. Let me say that again. If you're here and you're listening to me and people and your kids and people have been telling you to stay home and protect yourself, and you're feeling not only are people telling you you're vulnerable, but you're asking, hey, what do I do in all of this? I want you to hear me say today that you may be vulnerable, but you're still valuable to what God is doing right now. And here's something that I believe you can do. We need prayer warriors like crazy. We need people praying and just seeking God's direction and praying into a movement of God in this particular time in history. Know what else you can do? You can begin to check in on your other friends. And if your other friends have needs, or if you have needs, you can contact us here at New Life and you can say, hey, I've got this need, or I heard about somebody who has a need. Can you help us? We created an entire website or a webpage just for this particular moment. It's about those, it's basically for people who either need a neighbor or want to be a neighbor. And so we encourage you to go to newlifepismo.com and click on that link to the Be a Neighbor or Need a Neighbor website. And there you can begin to register and tell us about your needs. You can also call the church office and simply just dial that number that's on the screen. And that will get forwarded to one of our folks that's working from home right now. But we'll make sure we get connected with the need. And so we want to just encourage you in this particular moment to listen into the Spirit and to do the next right thing. Check in on a neighbor. Go over to the home. Now be smart. Make sure you wash your hands before you do that. Make sure that you are in a demographic that's not going to, if you go over there, be exposed to something that's gonna be harmful to you. Make sure when you knock on the door, you just take a couple steps back. It's about wisdom and being smart, but we wanna make sure that we're checking in on each other. Again, you can call, you can email, you can even video talk with each other. You can do that if you have an iPhone, you can do that through FaceTime, you can do that through the platform Zoom. There's all kinds of ways that we can connect with each other right now. And that's why I believe that in this particular moment where it seems like, man, what is going on and how is the church gonna move? If you look down throughout church history, the church has always thrived the greatest during some of the most difficult circumstances. And here's the last thought that I want to leave you with, and it's this: that pressure becomes a catalyst for the greater things that God wants to do. Pressure becomes a catalyst for the greater things that God wants to do. See, God isn't caught off guard by this. In fact, this is why this was his ending strategy, as Jesus kind of carried his ministry, that eventually he'd commission his disciples and eventually the Holy Spirit would come and commission the church to be his hands and his feet in this world, to proclaim the good news, to be carriers of the kingdom of God. Because in that moment, the ministry of the kingdom of God went from being just done through Jesus in chapters 8 and 9 to being done not only through Jesus, but through all those who would be enlivened by the Spirit, by the Holy Spirit, and they would be sent out. Because God knew that there would be pressure moments in history. There will be pressure moments in our individual lives. There will be pressure moments in communities. There will be pressure moments in history where the people of God couldn't just depend on one pastor or one person or one leader, but they would need every single person empowered by the Holy Spirit in order to communicate the good news and ministry of the kingdom of God. This was the greater things that is revealed to us in the book of John, chapter 14, verse 12. You will do greater things, not more spectacular, not more awe-inspiring, but with greater impact. Because we chose to surrender ourselves to the movement of God, to be empowered by his Holy Spirit, and to be workers who were sent into our world to do the things that Jesus did. I'm so grateful that so many of you that are watching this right now have already kind of embraced that particular calling. But I believe that as each of us begin to embrace that calling and the numbers grow, that God will be able to do even greater things. And the small few testimonies that I shared earlier will grow exponentially. And 6 months from now, a year from now, when you're sitting around with your kids or your grandkids and you're telling the stories of how God moved in our generation, how God moved in a powerful way during a difficult season, that just like the people of God told the stories of God throughout scriptures, that we will sit down and we say, hey, here's a really difficult time. Here was a challenging time. Here's something we didn't expect in our time in history. And yet, let me tell you how God moved in great and wonderful and mighty ways. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, we come to you right now, God. God, wherever people are right now and they are experiencing that pressure, and maybe that pressure is causing some anxiety and causing fear, God, would you bring peace right now? A peace that surpasses all understanding, a peace, God, that only you can do. God, I pray that they would know in this moment they were created for moments like this, that this is what you had in mind. When we talk about being fully alive in Jesus, it's harnessing the gifts and graces that you have given us, the resources you have blessed us with, and using them for your glory, for your kingdom. I pray, God, that you would reveal to us the greater things. Give us a vision. Download into our heart and minds a vision for the greater things that you want to do. And God, would you give us the courage to do the next right thing that you have for us, the next thing that your Spirit prompts us to do. We ask all these things in Jesus' powerful name. Amen.
Hello, New Life. How are you holding up? My name is Elena, and can I first just say how much we miss seeing you? We miss seeing your faces each and every week, but we also know that it is an act of love for you to be staying home and watching this in your living room each and every weekend online. And it has been definitely clear these last couple of weeks that church is not a building. And it has been so encouraging to me personally to see so much of our church reaching out and supporting each other in any way possible. Our Moms and Mentors group has been collaborating and sharing ideas for how to keep kids busy and learning while they're at home. Lots of our Bible studies and life groups have been meeting on Zoom and live watch parties. Our Holy Yoga instructors have been holding daily Holy Yoga classes online on social media for free. And so it is just so great to be able to see everybody reaching out and helping each other, because this is truly a unique time to shine the light of Jesus into a desperate and changing world. So keep it up, New Life. You guys are doing awesome at that. There are a couple things I want to give you a heads up about. First, we want you to stay connected with us and what's going on here. We sent a pretty thorough email out this week detailing some of the comings and goings of ministry here, what we're doing, what we're not doing. So keep checking your email from us. I'm sorry, I know you've probably gotten a million emails from every business that you've ever met. So I'm really sorry to add to that problem, but it is great just to keep informed about what is going on. We also would love for you to connect with us on social media. We've been posting daily prayer prompts. We've been posting midweek worship sets to help you just recenter your hearts on God. So hopefully we can provide you with a little bit of encouragement throughout the week. And so we would love for you to stay connected. Also, we are doing everything we can to keep our food pantry open. Recently, we've moved to it being a drive-up service, so people don't have to get out of the cars, which is awesome. Because of the new shelter-in-place order, we can't have volunteers helping out anymore, but we still are accepting donations. We can only accept them during our normal operational hours as well, but we can make pickups if you have a large donation to give. So if you have that, if you'd like to make arrangements for that, you can call 805-489-3891. And you can also visit newlifepismo.com/pantry to get more information. And we know this is a unique time in history, especially for the church. But luckily, we serve a creative God, and we have a very creative team. And so we are going to think of creative ways to think outside the box and think outside the walls. And this is not going to stop the kingdom of God from advancing. Amen? Well, we hope you have a really great week at home, spending time with your family, and may God bless you.
Be upon you in a thousand generations. Your family and your children and their children and their children.